Good morning.
Morning.
It's really nice to be here. I'm so glad to be here. Next Sunday, this time, I'm going to be in Nigeria, West Africa. But today, and that's like my second home, Ibadan. Eke Alleluia. That's for the Nigerians. It means say Alleluia.
Alleluia.
Eke Alleluia.
Alleluia.
I'm in Ibadan already. So, I live in Emsworth. I could have almost walked here. It's so close, isn't it? My sat-nav said, I'm going to be there like in 12 minutes. I couldn't believe it. I thought, Jane is lying. That's on the sat-nav, that's Jane. I thought, it can't be true. But it's true. I could almost walk it. Certainly I could run it. Here we go. Where am I? I'm trying to find out. That's it. I'm going to speak from Luke chapter, Mark chapter 2. When I get to the end today, I'm going to give you all an opportunity to respond in some way or other. So I'd like you to be thinking about that. And I'd like you to respond to that. I'm going to read a passage from Mark chapter 2 and verse 1. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. So many gathered, there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came bringing to him a paralytic, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus. And after digging through it, lowered the mat the paralyzed man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Let's just pause there. So we're told that Jesus again entered Capernaum and the people heard that he'd come home. That was his home. That was his headquarters. I've got a headquarters. I've got a home which is in Emsworth and it's like my headquarters too. And from that home, from that headquarters, I go about the UK or overseas doing things. It was the same for Jesus. Capernaum was his home. It's by the seaside. I was there last year, about 7-8 months ago. I went to the very place that Jesus lived. In Israel. I stood in the very place we know 110% that he lived there, went there, and preached in a synagogue in Capernaum, which is still there today. First century synagogue. And the fourth century synagogue is built on top of it. And as I stood in that synagogue, it was a really nice feeling. I was thinking, I'm standing where you stood, Lord. I'm preaching where you preached, Lord. I'm here where you healed, Lord. And then I walked down to the seaside. I'm thinking, I'm in Capernaum. That's what we've just read. That he'd come home. And we're told that there were so many people gathered at his home, there wasn't any room left inside the house. There wasn't any room inside or outside. It was jam-packed. Inside and outside. And that reminds me of when I go to Africa. When I walk into a school, the school room is full. There's people on the floor. There's people sitting squashed up in the chairs. There's people on the windowsills. The teachers are standing. Pupils are standing. Many are sitting. They're like almost sitting on each other's laps. It was a bit like that. On this day, so many gathered there was no room left, not even outside the door. And what was Jesus doing? He was preaching the word to them. That's why they turned up. Because the word that he preached gave life. It wasn't like some politician. It wasn't like some lecture. It wasn't like some humanitarian, you know, good stuff. And this is how we can make a difference. It wasn't like about how we can create some kind of peace. It was something bigger and better than that. It wasn't from a man only. It was something amazing. And people were attracted. He was like a magnet. You know, a magnet. It like pulls things towards it. Like metal. Once he said, "Come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." That's the kind of word he gave, and that's the kind of thing he did. When he would say, "Come unto me, if you're weary and burdened, I will give you rest," he'd do it. It wasn't just words. It wasn't like, "Oh, have a nice day." Yeah, what's that going to do? Is that going to give me a good day? No. You're just wishing that on me. That's nice of you. Thanks. I'd rather have a nice day. But you're not going to do it for me. I'm not going to do it for you. So when Jesus said, "Come unto me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. If you come to me, I'll give you rest. If you're burdened, I will help you. If you're weary, I will help you. I have the means to help you." It wasn't like a greeting. That's why they came to him. The house was full. The outside was full. And we learned that there were some friends, four, and they had a friend that was paralyzed. So they got hold of him. Isn't it nice when someone gets hold of you? Like in a nice way. They carried him. And they took him to where Jesus was. They took him to the healer. They took him to the teacher. They took him to the prophet. They couldn't get there. So they climbed the staircase, which was on the outside of the house, which was normal. They got on the flat roof, which was normal, and they broke it, which was normal. When Jesus was about, things like that happened. They broke the roof. They lowered the mat down. They made an opening in the roof above Jesus. Sometimes you and I are called to do that. We're told, we're called and told to carry someone. I've carried people. I'm carrying people. People have carried me, are still carrying me. And they lowered the mat down after breaking the roof. Hallelujah. They didn't ask for permission from Pastor Dan or the committee. They just broke the roof, lowered the man down. Verse 5, when Jesus saw their faith, when Jesus saw the faith of the four men that broke the roof, he said to the paralytic man, Son. Your sins are forgiven. Note what he said. He didn't say, "Oi, mate." He didn't say, "Your sins are forgiven." He said, "Son." There's a lot of love there. He called him his son. I saw one of the fathers take his son out today, an Asian gentleman. And I was just caught by the way the little boy, maybe three and a half, I love the way the little boy held on to his father's neck. Totally, 110% safe, secure, totally knowing he was loved. It was a bit like that when Jesus spoke to this man and said, "Son, your sins are forgiven." But that wasn't why he came. The man didn't come for that. But the man had another need. The man came, was brought to Jesus because he needed healing. And Jesus, the first thing that Jesus did was to forgive him. That was equally a great need in him as to be able to walk. Verse 6, what was the response? Now some of the teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like this? He's blaspheming. This is blasphemy. You can't talk like this. You can't say this. You're just a man. Who can forgive sins but God?" Verse 8. Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things?" See, he could read people. But it wasn't because of anything like body language. It wasn't like, "Oh, I know what you're thinking, let me guess." No, he knew what they were thinking. And he told them. Immediately Jesus knew in his spirit this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? I know what you're thinking. Why are you thinking these things?" Then he challenged them. "Which is easier? To say to the paralytic man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat, and walk'? But that you may know that I, the Son of Man, have authority on earth to forgive sins," then he's just stopped. And spoke to the paralyzed man. He said to the paralytic, "I tell you, get up, pick up your mat, and walk." He got up, took his mat, walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone. And they praised God, saying, "We've never seen anything like this." You see, they had some religion, these people. And the religion that they had, the thoughts that they had, were not helpful to themselves. They believed that this man, Jesus, did not have the authority or the power. What they believed about God, what they believed about life, said to them, "You don't have the authority or the power to forgive man his sins. Only God can forgive sins." So Jesus simply said, "So which is easier? To say your sins are forgiven, or to say, 'Get up, walk. So he threw that out at them. Well, it's obvious what is easier. You can say, I can say many things. It could be rubbish. What is easier, to say your sins are forgiven, or to say to a man who's crippled, walk? Who was this man Jesus? This man Jesus was and is the teacher of teachers. Who was this man Jesus? This man was and is the prophet of prophets. That is here for eternity. He will not be replaced. He will not be superseded. There will not come a time when someone will come and say, I am the latter day prophet. I am a prophet from God. No. This Jesus never had a beginning. There was never a time when he never existed. He just existed in another form. But he just lived on earth for about 33 years when he became visible. Who is this man, Jesus? He was a healer. He healed people everywhere out of compassion. Who is this man, Jesus? He was a feeder of the poor. He fed the poor, healed the sick, performed miracles, was a prophet, a teacher. Who is this man, Jesus? He's the man that they got hold of and they butchered and they put on a tree on Friday with nails through his hands and his feet for 6 hours on a wooden cross, who came alive again a few days later. Who is this man, Jesus? He's the same today as yesterday. Who is this man, Jesus? He's someone that is here and can transform you and I and transform the world. I have a friend called Peter, and very recently, this man that I've known for many years died, and I went to his funeral. It wasn't really a funeral, it was like a Thanksgiving. It was a happy occasion, and he requested bright colours. So I thought, well, I can't wear a black tie. I have to wear a really stripy tie. So I got a really happy, bright tie because he requested it. And I was pleasantly surprised that the people, what they wore on his Thanksgiving at his funeral, you know, like yellow shirts, check shirts, you know, no black tie in sight. And Peter, the last few days of his life, his wife stood by him with his two daughters as they held his hand and were just there, reading him some scriptures, praying with him, talking with him, being with him. And he held on to a wooden cross. But I know this man. And he didn't just hold on to the cross in his death, in his dying days. This man, Peter, held on to the cross of Jesus throughout his life, in his life. And what do I mean by that? It wasn't just in his death, but in his life, he received and embraced this Jesus. In his life, he knew this Jesus. In this life, he was a friend of this Jesus. And when I finish today, I will give you an opportunity to meet this Jesus. And maybe you have a felt need, an obvious need today, like the paralyzed man. And maybe you should and must cry out to him today to come and meet you at your need. He's interested in your felt needs. And he's also interested in forgiving us our sins, the Bible calls them. The things that we've done wrong against him. Don't run away from him, but run to him. I'm speaking to several of you today. Don't back off. Don't back away. Step forward today. Make your move today. Come to him today. And come just as you are. Don't think you've got to know any more. Don't think you must improve yourself. Come just as you are. With your felt need. Or with any need. And come just as you are. To the person that died and lives for you. To the person that hung on a tree to forgive you and I. That's why he came. He was sent, he was born to come and die and rise again and give us life. And that life means to forgive us. And then he can start to rebuild us and transform us as he comes into our lives by his Spirit. We need to repent. That's a Bible word. It means to change our minds. Change your mind today. I did that when I was 17. I made a big decision when I was 17 to repent. I changed my mind and direction one day. In the summer of 73, in a little village in Surrey, I changed direction. I changed and faced Christ. I put my faith in him. I believed it was for me that he died. So the first thing that we need to do is to simply be sorry. Say sorry. Change direction. Follow him. Say, you're the master. Let me follow you. You're the Son of God. Let me follow you. You're the one who calls me son or daughter. Let me follow you. You're the one that can forgive my sin, bring me to heaven, give me a life in this life. I'm saying, take hold of him. Hold on to that cross. So the first thing is, repent, change your mind, turn around, live for him, and come just as you are. The second thing is, receive him. You know, when someone gives you a gift, you've got a choice. If I, this is a couple of my books here, Refreshed and Renewed, hardback. It's a weekly word for daily living. I've got written another book called True Relationships. So if I say the first person to come and get it can have it, he didn't know what to do for a minute. Well, for a second. It's like others of you thought, well, I'd like that, but I'm not moving. I'm not getting up. It's embarrassing. I can't get up. I'm at the back. I don't want your stinky book. It's just a book. It's not. It's not just a book. But you've got to move. He's got a gift he wants to give you. You've got to receive him to get the gift. The Bible says he came to the place that was his own, the Jewish people, but his own received him not. His own received him not. But to those that did receive him and believe in him, to those that did, he gave them the right, the power to become children of God. John 1, 12 to 14. But to those that did receive him, embrace him, look at him, come to him, it's not difficult. It's not difficult to understand. It's not difficult to do. You can stand up like the boy and come and get the gift. To all that did receive him and believe him, it's time to believe. Come on now. It's time to believe. To those that did believe and receive, to them, only them, he gave them the right to become children of God. So, and it goes on to say, who were born of God. That's like born again. That's exactly born again. It's not like anything. It's not like. It's that. Born again, born of the Spirit. Very simple. All it requires is for you to stand up, as it were, and say, I'm doing it. I'm standing up. Just as I am, I come. That's how he wants it. Don't say, well, I've got a few reasons why I can't. No, get a rubber, rub that out. Rub it out. You can. No one, nothing is holding you. I'm not asking you to come to me. I'm not asking you to come to the church. I'm asking you to come to him, who's amazing. The people said that day, that's amazing. We've never seen anything like this. You're a preacher, you're a prophet, you're the Son of God, you're a healer, you love people. You don't mind if they break the roof and interrupt you. What kind of man are you? That's all you have to do. Believe. Put your faith in Christ Jesus. Believe that he died for you. That's it. That he loves you. He came for you. He's interested in you. Just believe in the cross. I love the cross. We've had a new Baptist church built in our town, and they've put this cross there. It's nice. I like the cross. There was someone on the cross. That someone gave his life for me. That someone shed his blood for me. So that I could be forgiven. That's a deal. So that I could have his Spirit. So the walls can come down. There's no barrier. There's no wall now. I can be a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He's my best friend. As well as being my Lord and my Master. Jesus is my best friend. People will leave you people will die by the wayside. But there is one person that will never leave you nor forsake you. His name is Jesus. Today, as I close, in a few moments, when I close, I invite all of you to respond. For those of you who don't know this Jesus, I invite you to respond. For those of you who don't know that your sins are forgiven, that you don't know him, he seems a long way away, but you'd like to meet him, you'd like a new start, you'd like forgiveness. Who is this Jesus? He's the Son of God. Who is this Jesus? He's the one that died for you. Who is this Jesus? He can transform you by Spirit within you. And when we come to him to receive him, we are receiving his Spirit. That's like better than £10 million. I know you'd prefer £10 million, one or two of you. But I just need to put it like that. We are so consumed with stuff. If you offered me £100 million instead of Jesus, you can stick it. You can keep your money. I'm not interested. What Jesus gives, nothing can buy. If you gain the whole world, or the most beautiful woman, or the most beautiful man, or the most amazing job, or inherit a country, or become a president, it's like if you get the whole world and you leave out Jesus, you're a nutter. If the choice is there and you choose the wrong thing, you're nuts. Today, step up, embrace him, repent. Turn around. Turn your back on. Face him. I'm coming after you. I'm coming. I'm stepping forward. Put your faith in the cross of Christ. Receive him. Embrace him. And he will give you a gift. It's like the water of life. We can't live without water. You know that, don't you? You know you can't live without water. Try it this week. I'd be interested to see how many days you can live. Yeah, you'll start drinking tea. Yeah, you'll slowly die. You can't live without some things like water. It's the same with the Spirit of God. He's the water of life. Come and drink. I'm going to read a prayer and then I'm going to pray it. That's two different things. Let me read it. Keep your eyes open. If you'd like to step forward today, for the first time, in a moment, we're going to pray this prayer together. But I'm going to read it so you know what's coming. Lord Jesus Christ, I know I've sinned in my thoughts, words, and actions. There are so many good things I've not done. There are so many wrong things I have done. I am sorry for my sins and turn from everything I know to be wrong. You gave your life on the cross for me. Gratefully, I give my life back to you. I ask you to come in to my life. Come in as my Savior to cleanse me. Come in as my Lord to control me. Come in as my friend to be with me. And I'll serve you all the remaining years of my life. Amen. That's the prayer. Let's pray. Let's bow our heads. Thank you. For whatever reason, if you'd like to come to Christ today, you can do so by making this decision. It's not so much a prayer, it's more of a decision. If you'd like to do this, or if you would like to recommit your life because you've wandered off and you'd like to come back, you can say this prayer. You can make this decision. And I'm going to pray it line by line. I'm going to pause so that you can make this decision between you and Him. This is a moment between you and Him. You can pray out loud or quietly, or you can just pray quietly to Him. Whatever you prefer. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, I know I've sinned in my thoughts, words, and actions. There are so many good things I've not done. There are so many wrong things that I have done. I am sorry for my sins. And turn from everything I know to be wrong. You gave your life on the cross for me. Gratefully, I give my life back to you. I ask you to come into my life. Come into my life by your Spirit. Come in as my Savior to cleanse me. Come in as my Lord to control me. Come in as my friend to be with me. And I will serve you all the remaining years of my life. Amen. I'm going to pray for you now. Lord, I thank you for everyone here today. I thank you for those who prayed who made that decision. I pray that they will continue to know you and your grace and your love. Assure them, Lord, that they are forgiven. Assure them that they are loved, and be real to them. May this day for them, Lord, be the start of a journey into a big life. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today, I'd like you to do one of two things. Tell somebody here that you prayed that prayer today. Especially if you prayed that prayer for the first time. Tell somebody. Tell Pastor Dan. Tell your Christian friend. Tell somebody today. If you prayed that prayer today, come and tell me. Just come and tell me. And if you come and tell me, I'd like to give you one of my books as a little gift from me that will help you on your way. Or if you'd like to do both of those things, feel free. We're probably going to sing a last song in a minute or something. During that time, I'd like you, if you're sick, you might be sick in body today. If you want, during the last song or two that we're going to do today, if you're sick, while that song is happening, just come to the front. And at the end, come to the front. But don't wait to the end, necessarily. Just come to the front, and I would love to pray. If you're sick in body today, come. And I will anoint you with oil, which is symbolic for the Holy Spirit and for healing. And I would love to pray for you. If you're sick in mind, those of you who are sick in your mind, you know what I mean by that. I don't have to explain it. If you're sick in your mind, if you're troubled at this time, or deeply confused, come for healing. If you'd like a word from the Lord, come for healing today, because Jesus is here. God bless you.